Well, hello, church. It is good to see you this morning. A couple of things probably need to ask real quick. Saul, there's a song after. Do you call that an invitation song or just a closing song or what do you call it? You're stunned. Yeah, so, yeah, all right. Yeah, I won't play it like an invitation song, so we won't sing it four times. I'll be done and suddenly just walk away. There'll be an awkward silence, and then the team will file back up. How's that? Good plan. Yes. Now, I was told that I can go a bit longer this morning than the 30 minutes because you don't have Bible classes, but I'm aware that the seat can only absorb what the head can, or the head can only absorb what the seat can endure. So if you need to flee, flee. If you need to, but if you need to leave, at least make it count. Throw a book down, scream something. Kick the door, you know, make it meaningful. And I was going to talk about science and scripture, but then Randy made the crack and called my slingshot a tractor. So I'm going to do a four-hour overview of the doctrine of hell and who's going there. We're going to take it row by row. This will get exciting in just a little bit. And no moving about. All right, here we go. Most of you know I was raised by Christian people, very, very, very far to the right of our fellowship. I sometimes just say we were two light bulbs from being Amish, because it was. But the humor hides the pain. Many of you know that a couple of my sisters died of suicide. I left home at 16, went to my first university, and left God shortly thereafter because there was no reason to be with him. You could not be saved. You just could, everything you turned around was busting a law. It was science that brought me back to God. And I'm aware that that's, in this country, a rather strange journey. You do need to know, by the way, though, that that's endemic to this country and the West. In Japan, somebody with a PhD in the sciences is four times more likely to believe in God than a member of the general public. The reason it is that way in the West is because we weed out the believers and don't let them in the master's and the doctor programs. And if they slip by and get a doctorate, we weed them out of grants to where they cannot make a living. It is a scandal. It's not talked about very much, but there it is. But between my first and second doctorate, as I was working with research and all of this, I could not get away from the fact that there was a God and I was going to have to deal with him. But I wasn't happy about it. In fact, I even looked up at my ceiling in the flat in Glasgow and said, right, you're there, but I don't like you. And I don't know what I'm going to do about this. So I started reading scripture again, and I found something which is rather odd, which leads me to talk about my favorite movie. Now, my favorite movie is an old movie you may not have seen, Kirk Douglas and the Vikings. It is not my favorite movie because it's a good movie, because it isn't. It's very poorly written, even worse acted. Complete trash of a movie. Just a train wreck. One of my favorites. And the reason is, as you see the galleys, the Norsemen, the Viking galleys, coming up the fjord, they zoom in, and there are the galley slaves rowing, which the Vikings never had galley slaves. Ever. But that's okay. I'll overlook this. But as they zoom in on a few of them, if you look carefully, you'll see that one of them's wearing a watch. I'm in. These are my people. Let's go. During a battle scene, you will see as they're swinging around electrical lines going up a mountain. Another battle scene, you will see contrails from a jet going over. I just could not be happier, frankly, at this stage. And that's called an anachronism. Now, you get out of place things in movies a lot. A lack of continuity. You know, a cigarette that grows longer and shorter as they come back and forth to it. I love those. My wife will not let me point them out to her anymore. But two people are talking in a car. They're rolling up. You see a stop sign. You cut back. They're talking. You look at the street. They didn't stop. They're still going. And I'm going, right, they just killed a kid. And I'm aware that this guy's a by-the-book cop and this one is a renegade, but normally you would stop for an intersection. The One of my favorites is Die Hard, the second movie. It's supposed to take place in Washington, D.C. airport. He runs to a payphone. Kids, ask your parents. And they, or grandparents, maybe. And he picks up and he's dialing. You can see, ask your parents. You see right on there, Pacific Bell. All of a sudden, a mediocre movie, I'm interested. Let's play. Now, I love anachronisms in particular. In Shakespeare's Macbeth, very early on, just after the witch scene, you have a battle is approaching, you know, and so he calls this guy in and he goes, where is the enemy? And he goes, we can hear the cannon fire over there, which that's a man you want on your side because he heard cannon fire. About 300 years before gunpowder made it to Scotland. And I'm thinking, promote that guy, keep him in. Enlistment bonus, whatever you've got to do. There are anachronisms that I found in Scripture that were stunning to a level we don't even talk about much. I think it's because we've allowed ourselves to act like science and Scripture are in battle against each other. And they are, if you interpret science one way and if you interpret Scripture another way. We'll talk a little bit about that, but here we go. It's rather like, let's say that you take your vacation and you go to Egypt because you've not been watching the news. And so you go to Egypt and you've got a tour guide. And a tour guide's a very boring tour guide. You do get those. And they're just going droning on and on and on. You're standing there, you're playing with the sand with your foot, and you hit a big, you know, a rock, and it's a pointy rock. So you just keep playing with it, and eventually, we're cutting way ahead, you found the top of a pyramid. And so we're all digging now because we're all abandoning the tour guide. And it's a new pyramid. Well, it's not a new pyramid, but it's a previously undiscovered pyramid. Very exciting. And it has not been robbed. Pyramids were robbed almost immediately and repeatedly after being made. King Tut, there were still bits left in there. That's why everybody got very excited. So they cracked open the door, they pulled it away, and since you were the one that found it, they give you the honor of going in first. Since you've not seen any mummy movie made since 1930, you go in. And thing about mummies, kids, please remember, they don't move fast, but they don't sleep. So eventually, they're going to get you. They just are. You're going to be binge watching Netflix, and that gives them time. So you go in, and there's their hieroglyphics, and there's a sarcophagus, and there's the jar that they put the innards in, and you look over. There's a Buick, and then you go over, and you. Now we have an issue. There are only two possible solutions to this. One, the Egyptians made Buicks. Probably not. Second, somebody else has been in here. You're not the first. I found some Buicks in the pyramid when I was reading Scripture. And I want to share some of them with you in a way that you could share this with friends. You don't have to be a scientist to do this. You know, I've heard scientists defend the Bible before in ways that I'm not really sure anybody in the room is going to be able to use. They would just leave going, right, some smart guy thinks the Bible's okay. Now, that's not helpful. I want to go to the book that has caused you to lie to God. Do not deny this. You said at some time in your life, you're going to read through the Bible. So you read Genesis. Cool book. Sex, drug, and rock and roll, buddy. All the way through that book. That's exciting. They ought to make a movie of it. Well, they did, but it was horrible. Then you go Exodus. Frogs out of the sky. Amen. Let's play. Mountains full of thunder and lightning. Then you hit Leviticus. It's horrible. It is. I work for God. He knows I have to think about this. By the way, if you think about stuff, you may as well talk to God about it because, anyway, he's God. After about the 14th linen ephod and 20th meal offering, it's like, I'm out. I tap out. I'm going to scan. And by scanning, I mean turn the pages. And you move on, because then you get more fun stuff. And Numbers, you're on your way to Deuteronomy, and that's exciting. But it's in Leviticus that I found stuff that I was going, wait, we didn't have this. We didn't know this. until 3,000 years later. To give you a real quick primer at this, Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11 is a great chapter. It's just poetry. Lord said to Moses and Aaron, by the way, if your phone is not downloading, they now come in a handy portable edition with a new feature called InstaRead, which I think you're going to enjoy. And nobody can catch you looking down at it thinking they're checking Facebook. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, say, you started it with the tractor comment. That's all I'm going. You know, say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. And you're hooked, aren't you? Oh, we must know more. So we read, there are some that only chew the cud or only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. Got it. The camel. Okay, we're doing illustrations now. Examples. Though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof, is ceremonially unclean for you. Got it. The hydra. Okay, we're continuing on the possibilities here. Got to have both. Everybody got that in the first two verses, right? But because God knows we like to outlawyer him, he's going to start throwing these examples out. There are a lot of things in here we're going to unpack. But I'm going to start with the thing which might upset you. All right? Look down verse 6. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. Rabbits don't chew cud. If you don't know what a cud is and how to chew it, and by the way, if I panicked you, good, hang in there. The some animals have have segmented stomachs. You'll sometimes hear people say that they have several stomachs. We generally look upon it as one stomach system. It's just segmented. And they are able to eat something, digest it a bit, and bring it back and chew it, or move it about within the stomachs, if not all the way back out to the mouth. Cows are extremely efficient at this. They will take the grass, which is very low in nutrients. Those of you eating wheatgrass drinks and suffering, there's almost zero nutrients in it for human beings. But we do appreciate you supporting the economy. The cows are not happy. You're now in competition with the cows. But the cows will eat grass. And if you watch a cow, you have them in Ohio. We lived here. And they'll just be standing there. And all of a sudden, they'll go, and they start chewing. You're going, where did that come from? Well, it came from down here. Now, they, if you have a divided hoof and you've got the... and you chew the cud, you're in, which is convenient because right now there's a really big thing in nutrition where they're trying to make vegetables taste like meat. And I'm thinking, we do that. We feed vegetables to cows. And they turn it. And by the way, if you're trying to lose weight by being a vegetarian, look at a cow. It's not always effective. You might want to. And I was a vegetarian for many years. I respect your dietary choices. I'm just playing around with you because I really can. And so why not, right? I'm 62. I'm sliding into death at any moment. So let's enjoy the ride. Now, let me come back. Rabbits don't do that. But rabbits do a mouth motion. It looks like they are. The Bible was not written to you. Bible was written for you, but it was written to other people. And those people were pre-scientific people on the move. He's not going to require them to do autopsies on every animal form to see if it has a segmented stomach. That's just not effective. Instead, he's going to tell them in a way that they can use on the ground where they are. So when somebody looks at me and says, so you're saying that's a scientific inaccuracy, I'll say, yeah, but it's done on purpose because it's talking to people that are only able to understand at this level. It's rather like trying to explain quantum physics to somebody who's in middle school. I love middle schoolers. No disrespect to middle schoolers. They're brilliant, and you're going to make a better world than we made. but you're not ready for quantum physics. Or in an alternate universe, maybe you are. But you're not ready for an alternate. You're just back away. My wife is brilliant. She's smart, she's intelligent, creative, one of the most highly credentialed interior designers in America. And I say that with a great deal of pride. But she has no interest in physics, much less quantum. And so whenever I start to open my mouth, she'll go, no. We went to see Interstellar a couple of years ago. Something would happen. I go, oh, what he's doing, uh-uh. Which I find very unfair because she continually talks to me about design stuff and I don't get it either. It's Charlie Brown's teacher when she's talking to me. It's wah, 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 because I'm going, I love you, but I'm not sure that's a thing. Anyway, again, so understand the Bible was not written, and when I was a boy, people would fight, go down to the mat on everything in the Bible that says about science is true. Kinda. It was useful to the people on the ground. But that doesn't mean empirically true. You don't want it to be. You want things to be softened up for age and understanding. Do you not? Well, I certainly do. But let's talk about this. These food laws, and they go on and on, eliminate certain categories of food. One, very simple. We all know one food that Jews and Arabs cannot eat. What? Pork. There you are. I live in the South where it's worshipped. And fought over. Who's got the best barbecue? Back off, people. The knives are coming out. So why? Well, we're aware there are parasites in pork if it isn't raised in clean conditions. They are a people on the move. They have no control over most conditions. So the parasites are out. That removes that whole category. By the way, when the first Gulf War went, I thought, we can win this without a loss of human life. Fly over and bomb it with pigs. Now, hang with me just a moment. We don't lose the bomb sound, because on the way down, the pigs will supply it. All the way down, right? So you'll still get the terror sound as it comes. They hit, they splatter, Arabs have to leave. We send in Gentiles that can clean it up. Put a fence up. It's yours. Brilliant. No life lost, and I'm not allowed to write the White House anymore. The men in the SUVs are really cool on the inside, but I'm not allowed to do that anymore. But there are other animals, such as shrimp. Lobster, couldn't have it. Things that came from the sea that didn't have scales, had a shell or skin you couldn't eat. Why? Well, even a catfish. Why? Because it's their job to remove all the bad stuff from the environment so it doesn't hurt the other animals. Little shrimp are just the cockroaches of the deep. People, if you saw it scuttering out from under your fridge, you wouldn't go, hey, I'm going to build a restaurant empire. You just wouldn't do it. Well, in Louisiana, you would. I'm a vegetarian when I go to Louisiana. It's safest. It's just safest that way. This is critter on a stick. Oh, lovely. The shrimp. Now, by the way, if you're allergic to shrimp, technically you're not. That's not helpful, by the way. You're allergic to stuff that shrimp eats. Shrimp by itself has no allergens, but it eats stuff that'll kill you. So it doesn't really help while we're loading you into the ambulance for me to yell in there, it really wasn't the shrimp. So you see, that whole chewing could thing, again, we don't give you all the science. We just give you the science you can use, right? So there we go. So it also eliminates those kind of catfish. In Tennessee, we got catfish and barbecue places. And I think are you trying to kill every allergic person? Why don't we have a little tub of EpiPens at the end just to help people sort this out? It's rather like, I love the Jews, and I have so many Jewish friends that are so dear to me, and I get embarrassed at every Easter, because what do Christians do? Easter, they eat ham. It's like, in your face, Jews. You know, we got our Jesus showed up. I'm going, I don't think that's nice or proper. But those that carry parasites in them or that remove toxins from the environment, those are removed. But how about that bunny? Let's go back to the bunny. Bunny meat doesn't carry toxins and they don't remove toxins from the environment. It's actually really healthy meat. Low fat, high protein. Why can't you eat bunnies? It had nothing to do with the meat. They are a mobile people, mostly shoeless. Their feet will get cracked every so often. And when bunnies pee, probably the first time that phrase has been used in this pulpit, it's what you get when your minister goes overseas and lets somebody from overseas get in his pulpit. We have to get our revenge for you stealing our country somehow. Okay, it was somebody else's country, but we stole it first. And then I think fair is fair. When bunnies pee, they release, you step around in bunny pee and you got cracked feet, you're going to get tularemia. It's a blood disease, very serious. Today, we can sort that stuff out. Back then, you could not. So it removes those whose waste is particularly dangerous to you. Wow, it removes a fourth category. Foods that when they spoil, do not give you notice of spoilage until it's too late. Many of you will have in your refrigerator the mystery Tupperware, right? You're not really sure what it is. Somebody will open it and go, oh, oh, oof. And then they'll say, here, smell that. I do not understand you people. I just, what? If I'm feeling too comfortable, I'll go to the door and slam my head in it aggressively. I don't need to inhale this because, by the way, all odors are particulates. So if you smell it, you are ingesting it. Thank you, Ohio rest stops. We will never stop there again. We are done. It's not just Ohio, it's endemic. It's epidemic. And by the way, if I can't make you smile, I make myself smile. That's very important to me. So to this day, there are some food, like mayonnaise, near meat and such, Jews will not touch that. There are a lot because they have, in fact, an Orthodox Jew or a conservative Jew. They're Orthodox, conservative, Reform, and there are a couple of other little groups, but then there are tiny groups as well. But a conservative or an Orthodox Jew will have in their kitchen two different counters and two different sets of everything because what touches, for example, dairy products cannot touch meat products. There are some real rules there, and they all come from here. What's going on? Before we even go further, what's going on? God has got to keep this group alive. One of the great mysteries of history is why do we have Jews? And that's not a diss on Jews. We all agree Jews are our brothers and sisters, equal to us in all ways. There's only one race, the human race. Da, 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 da. Why do they exist when the Philistines are gone? Very powerful. The Sea Peoples. Well, the Phoenicians, they're gone. The Jebusites, the Gerizzites, and all the other ites and Indians and the like, they're all gone. The Jews survived. God said, if you do these laws, you will have, quote, none of these diseases. And that's where we get to the Buick and the Pyramid. Verse 24 of chapter 11. You'll make yourself unclean by these. Whoever touches their carcasses will be unclean till evening. Whoever picks up one of their carcasses must wash their clothes, and they'll be unclean till evening. Ding, 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 ding. First time in written history that touching something can make you sick. And all the way through World War I, more soldiers died of disease than of wounds and bombs. Even through World War I, but I'm going to back it up because there are a couple other things I want to use that only apply to the Civil War, or as I have to phrase it down there, the War of Northern Aggression, whatever. Anyway, They really are pretty happy that they lost, by the way. That's a myth that they do on the news thing, that the Southerners are seething. No, Southerners realize, well, that was stupid. And we do, and we're kind of ashamed. I've been there 5 years, so they take me in. I love it whenever I'm not paying attention. I'm just having a wee bit with my wife at the store, and I'm not backing it off any. And some little clerk will come up and go, oh, I wish I had an accent. Thank you. Where are you? Where are you all from? And I'll say Tennessee, and that rattles them a bit. Then I'll say, I wish I had your accent, and I'll say, you could have, but you shot us. Anyway, here, you're unclean by touching something. It was the 1860s where the idea exploded. Ignaz Semmelweis, Joseph Lister, Louis Pasteur, we could say him. We could talk about the Joseph Snow and the Broad Street pump, oh my goodness, where he traced cholera by where people were getting their water. It's the first time, by the way, he died of cholera. But his findings revolutionized where we put our sewers and how we do our pipes, and had they listened to Leviticus, all of those laws are already in there. They're all there, but we didn't pay attention. That's 1860. This is written around 1,000, in the form we have it now, about 1,000, 1,100 years B.C. So you're talking 3,000 plus years. There's a Buick in the pyramid. How did this get here? The way Jews do time. Let's say that this afternoon about 1 o'clock, I go out and I find a dead rat, and I pick it up, and I dispose of it. And I go wash my hands, wash my clothes. Does that mean I get to come back into the community this evening? No, it means the next evening. The Jews use language in a different way. I'm 62, but if I was Jewish, I would say I'm 63. Because they don't count how many years you've had, they count the year you're in. You see, it's just a different thing. So this gives you a minimum of 24 hours to watch you. Because most pestilences will show some sign. Not bacteria, but viruses, absolutely, and toxins, absolutely. If you ate something funny 2 days ago and now you think you have food poisoning, you do not. Food poisoning is pretty much insta-poisoning. Now, if it's later that day, it could be viral. If 2 days later, that's still a stretch even for salmonella. You will find, and this protects community, stay away over there. Wash your clothes, too. Little boys will come in. Little girls are usually smarter than this. Little boys will come in with a dead bird. Look what I found. You know, parents are going, get, you know, and they finally gets up. And then you wash, and then you make them change their clothes. Why? Because you've watched one of the 5,000 different iterations of CSI, and you know that if you touch this, it's over here, too. Right? I didn't watch any CSIs, and my wife loves all the NCISs. I think there's one for North Dakota now. I don't watch any of those either, because I have that thing, that a life. So I don't watch those. And yes, she knows I say that. And she's American. She owns a gun. I'm still alive. I think we're doing all right. This book, it goes on. If you pick up, verse 20, if you pick up their carcasses, you must wash your clothes. You'll be unclean till evening. It's 24 plus. These animals are unclean for you. These animals that move along the ground are unclean for you. And he starts listing weasel, rat, lizards, and the like. Some of you may have lizards. I actually really love iguana when I'm down, not eating. I'm not eating what they would call Barbados chicken. I think these little dinosaurs running around are really amazing. I don't have one as a pet. You may have one as a pet and you may really enjoy it. I'll be the one to break it to you. It'll never love you, and it will never know its name. The only brain it has is just barely enough to say, blink, breathe. That's it. And if you pick it up and cuddle it, wash thoroughly, because they just ooze salmonella. Oh, lizard, I've had one guy came, my lizard's clean. Okay, Sparky. Enjoy that. Right. I'm not going to correct him because, frankly, some people need to deal themselves out of the genetic code. So just let it go. Here, have some fireworks. He goes further. A cycle. Verse 32. When one of them dies and falls on something, that little gecko going, whatever its use will be unclean, whether it is made of wood, cloths, hide, or sackcloth. All of those are porous materials. You notice he left metal out, because you can wash metal and use it again. Porous materials, and you might think, well, how do they know what's porous? Well, they don't have like even Tupperware, and Tupperware is porous, as you know, if you put spaghetti sauce in it. Anything acidic is going to go through. Well, they don't have Tupperware. I keep coming back to Tupperware because we ate leftovers my entire life, 16 years at my house. The original meal had never been found. My father would always say, right, Patrick, it's your turn to thank God for the food. And I'm going, I really have. Many times. Everything I see here, we've had conversations about. But I did that inside because I wanted to live. Put it in water. It'll be in clean till evening. Then it will be clean. Nobody likes to hear this, but the fact is, we don't have a whole lot we can do with viruses. We can vaccinate you very effectively, not 100% by any stretch, but very effectively against some of them. We can tell you how to avoid some of them, but once you've got one, it's even like Tamiflu. You'll spend about $100 to shorten your time with flu by less than a day, if you're lucky. Less than half of the people, does it really work? And that may be worth it to you. There's nothing, you want to do it, you go right ahead and do it. Viruses are very difficult. So what do we tell you when we have a virus? Drink plenty of fluids, stay away from other people until you're not sick, the fever's gone, wash your hands. What does Leviticus say? The same thing. But bacteria, mold, mildews, and the like, that comes later. You'll be thrilled to know we do not have time to reach that today, but it's really fun. If one of them, I got to do the clay pot. If one of them falls into a clay pot, now we've got a little thing. He's running through, had a little heart attack, falls, hits a spoon flips over into a clay pot. Ooh, everything in it is unclean, and you have to break the pot. Now you're not going, what? So that means you don't have a mindset of the people of this age. I did not make up history. I am not responsible for history. I am merely reporting history. You could get yourself a real good wife for three pots. And now, just because a gecko took a shortcut, she's no better than the two-pot hussy that lives down the street. Once again, preachers going overseas, leaving their pulpits open, these things can happen. You can't just go buy another pot. Stuff, articles are precious. If you've ever been to Africa, the first thing you will notice are the smiles. Stunning, stunning smiles and the beauty of the people. Next thing you're going to see is how they use everything. You give a kid a plastic bottle and a stick, and that kid's got a better imagination than Steve Jobs. It's brilliant. These people knew how to take stuff because you couldn't go get stuff. Scarborough Fair that Simon and Garfunkel made a hit back, was that late 60s, early 70s? Comes from a very old medieval English song, and it has many verses. In none of them do they ever mention anything about beauty or looks. That wasn't part of the program. It was, can she make a shirt? Can she cook? Strong. that's what it was. They have a different system. And now the pot is broken. Look, any food you are allowed to eat that's come into contact with water from any such pot, let's back it up. Gecko takes a little break, falls, hits a spoon. Spoon hits in the pot. Pot then splashes something on food you could eat, and you can't eat that. Cycle of contagion, first time ever described, and would not be described again for another 3,260 years. There's a Buick and a pyramid. And this is not all. There are many other things in Scripture that are like this. I'm going to zip ahead here and just say, if you go to chapter 2, purification after childbirth. When women give birth, it is a highly traumatic, stressful thing for their systems. God immediately moved them out of the community. I will do this genteelly. Do not panic. When there's an exit, there's an entrance. When things are wet and damaged, it's a highway for disease. To keep women from being sick, they were moved outside the camp. That unclean does not mean bad. Remember, God made pigs. He likes them. God made stuff that he said, this is good. Unclean is just a Jewish term, meaning you need to separate from this. And most things, it was temporary, not pigs like forever. the temporary soul. Women have of a certain age have a cycle. So 2 days to 8 days of every month, they got to leave and be with the girls because, for reasons that are not entirely certain, and do not come up to me later and say you saw that they have figured it out because they haven't. You put women together and they synchronize. That's why everybody who dates anybody in that dorm just got dumped because they're all on the same emotional plane. Now, some of you men are doing like this, like I'm going to get in trouble. I'm looking all over and women are doing this. Yes. They were then, and I've had women just get very angry. He called them unclean. You need to understand that God's not meaning insult. He's saying you get to leave now. It's not one woman standing on a rock out there going, arr, arr, arr. No. All the ladies get to go to sympathize, to tell the stories to people who are going to listen. And no cooking, no laundry, no sexual demands, no taking care of children. Does this sound like punishment? Now, men, on the other hand, got nothing like this at all. Women got a break from God. Let them go there. They didn't have to go do the sacrifices. They didn't have to. Nope. I bet after a while some people were faking. You know, I'm sorry, this is my third one this month. And they'd go on over. And who could blame them? Come on. The work they do, who could blame them? Skin diseases, chapter 13. And it gets so exciting, he comes back to it later. I don't know anything about skin diseases. So I had to go talk to a couple dermatologists. I said, would you please read this? They read it and they said, yeah, that's pretty much it. People used to kill babies because they had a port wine stains or they had the wrong freckles or the like, or the baldness didn't look right. God also, guys, makes sure that when you go bald, they don't kill you by saying, no, this is normal, and telling them how to look for it, the normal and the abnormal. It's way ahead of its time. Molds, washing your hands. I'll start wrapping up because I know that, again, you can't listen forever. This just keeps going. We haven't even gotten to the discharge chapter, which stunningly, shockingly, has never been turned into a VBS or a VeggieTales. And people, there are so many possibilities. I'm thinking of some now. Okay, all right. There's a lot about washing hands and about toilet issues as well. If we just did that, we wouldn't have flu epidemics. People don't wash their hands. As a minister, I cannot tell you how many times I've been hugged by somebody. When I tell them, how are you doing? They'll say, I've just been so sick. Would you pray for me? I'm going, I'll pray about you. I'm not sure you could call it for you. I might use the word smite. That is a possible use during that time. We do not give our fast food workers time paid off when they're sick, so they have to come to work. And so many do not wash hands. You go into a bathroom and you do wash your hands, and then they got a blow dryer. They'll say, this is to help the environment. No, it isn't. Electricity. And all it's doing is blowing viruses back on your hands. Over 170,000 by average. Where's it getting its air? We don't pipe it in from Alaska. Right? It's getting it from the viral mist in that enclosed area. So if you wash real well, you're going, right, not doing that, and you turn, and there's the door handle. What do you do? I usually just wait. Somebody's coming. I got time. When they come, I get out on their shove. Or, if I have to go because somebody's waiting on me, I'll pull it with a couple fingers, go out, hug a couple people randomly. You doing all right? It's good. Good to see you. Washing your hands. Don't touch your face. That's massive. Touching. You seen people counting money doing this or turning a book? Oh, hoof and mouth disease. Here we go. Here we go with some really nasty stuff. People, that book It's not an easy read. It's not a fun read. You don't even have to go read it. There's not going to be a pop quiz on a day of judgment about Leviticus. Jesus, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 25. You're going to be judged on how you treated other people, not on a pop quiz about what Leviticus said. But there's no way a desert people wandering around the wilderness knew about germs, knew about viruses, knew about which freckle is dangerous and which one is not, knew about how to have proper source of water, which is smarter than even us. They would not allow anything that touches your face or goes in your mouth to be near anything about the toilet. Where's your toothbrush? I know where it is. You can buy a little holder so you can see the toilet more clearly.
Hello.
Towels hung over a toilet. I'm going, and let's rub our faces. No, I've had people go, but the toothbrush has to air out. Number one, who told you that? Number two, how much air? Number three, there is air located in other places, like a drawer. Put your toothbrushes in the dishwasher and hit sanitize this afternoon, and then I'll see you at Meijer as we go buy new ones and a whole bunch of other stuff after you've read Leviticus. You can bring your team up because I'm bringing it home now. Here's a big sales job. We don't do imitation songs. Can you tell that? Because, like, really, after my sermon, what's the point? 4th Avenue Church is one of the first churches of Christ. We'd love you to come down and see us. Alexander Campbell and Talbot Fanning established it in 1833. And so we'd love you to come down. Beautiful place. Now, see, they're already coming forward. Is the baptistry warm? Oh, the team. I did tell you to come forward. Here's what I really want to stress to you. God never once told them why. Why can't we have shrimp wrapped with bacon? He didn't tell them why. We know now. And there are other things God has told us, do this, don't do that. And if people ask me why, I can't give them a scientific reason. What I can say is, he's got a pretty good record of being way ahead of anything we could know. That old song, Trust and Obey, it made a lot of sense. Just do what God said. There's my son. Listen to him. Thank you.